Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, which is Yuma Samach Tes. We begin two lines from the top of the Amud. We had a shaila yesterday. We know Kohanim can wear a big day kahuna. The question is this allowance only apply to the time of Avodah, Bish'as Avodah, or shall we say that perhaps the Torah grants them the allowance to wear the begadim even once they're done the Avodah? Shalai Bish'as Avodah. One pshat in the Rishonim is, L'nitn Torah l'malachei hasharis, Torah doesn't demand the impossible, that they must remove the begadim immediately after the Avodah. Rather, Torah perhaps grants them the allowance to continue wearing the begadim as though it's their own begadim. So which way is it? Now, we had a Mishnah in Maseches Tamid, which discussed the Kohanim when they went to sleep. And the Mishnah reads as follows. We're two lines from the top of the Amud. So when they were going to sleep, they removed the begadim, fold them up, and place them beneath their heads. Shamas Minah, says the Gemara, you can conclude from this, indeed, big day kahuna, nitnu the hanisban. Kehanam may benefit, may have personal benefit from the big day kahuna. Use them as a pillow. Amar Papa loy teima tachas rashin. Rather than placing them directly beneath their heads, that's not the pshat, ela emo keneged rashin. Rather interpret as follows. They would fold them up and place them alongside their heads, near their heads, but not to be used as a pillow, and you don't have a raya that you can have hanoah from the big day kahuna. Amar v'misharshia, shamas minah. We can actually conclude from this regarding another halacha, tefillin menatzad shaper dami. It's okay to place tefillin alongside one's head while he's asleep, and we're not concerned about the covered hatfillin. Perhaps during his sleep he might pass some gas and won't be covered. No, there's no concern because, after all, he's not actually wearing the tefillin, as we find by Bigdei Kehuna. Although he's not meant to sleep with them because of that concern of covered, but apparently placing them alongside one's body while he's asleep is not a concern. Says the Marachinami Mistavra, actually, I'll prove to you that this is the correct pshat. The Keneged Roshein was speaking about placing the Bigdei Kehuna alongside their heads, not to be used as a pillow. The Isagadai Tachtachas Roshein. Because if, he also suggests, that was speaking beneath their heads to be used as a pillow, V'tepikli Mishim Kalayim, that would generate another concern of Kalayim. Da'ika Avnet. Amongst the Bigdei Kehuna, you have at least one item, which is kelaim. Even the avnet, the belt of the kohen hadyut, was comprised of wool and linen. How would they be allowed to use it as a pillow? Unihi nami denitnu lehanes behen. Say, for argument's sake, the Torah grants them the allowance to use bigdei kehuna even shaloi b'sha'as avoida. It's given for their personal hana and benefit as well. Fine, that takes care of the Kedusha aspect of the begadim. We treat it as though it's theirs. But kelaim wouldn't be addressed. Hamis anim kelaim. They're still doing a is or having an offer from kelaim, which is not allowed. Hanich lamad amar avnete shel kohen gadol. Zehu avnete shel kohen hedyut. Now, this wouldn't be a concern if you hold like that sheet. The avnet of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, which was strictly made of linen, no kelaim, is the same, made of the same material as the avnet of the kohen hedyut throughout the year. There's no kelaim. Then you're okay. There's no kelaim. Ela leman d'omar. But according to the other sheet, who holds avnet shel kohen gadol loy zehu avnet shel kohen hedyut, that the avnet of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, which was made of boots of linen, is different, made of different material than the avnet of the kohen hedyut throughout the year, which was comprised of wool and linen. It was kelaim. Michael and Mema, what are you going to say? You're stuck. There's a kelaim issue. So as the Rishonim explained, let's suppose that you can have hana'ah from the Bigdei Kehuna The Kedusha concern, the Me'ilah concern, is not a concern. The Torah suspends that Isser, because the Torah gives them permission to use Bigdei Kehuna whenever they choose. Whether during Avodah, to continue walking around with it, even after Avodah, even to use the Bigdei Kehuna as a pillow during the night. Fine. So we've addressed the Me'ilah concern, the Kedusha concern. However, when it comes to Kelayim, you're still left with a very serious concern here. Because, fine, throughout the day, there wouldn't be Issa Kelayim, because just as you can wear during Avodah, the Torah specifically allows him to wear Kelayim in his Bigdei Kehuna, you can continue wearing it even after Avodah. Because it's a continuation, it's the same Levisha, it's like the Tosis brings from Rabbeinu Tam. We know that the Torah is Mater Kelayim by Tzitzis. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you could even wear those Kelayim by Tzitzis at night, even though it's not the mitzvah, time of the mitzvah of Tzitzis, because it's a Beged of Tzitzis, which has a Heter of Kelayim throughout. Here as well, the Heter of Kelayim pertaining to Bigdei Kehuna applies during the Sha'as Avodah, and even after the Avodah as well. But, says the Gemara, you could not even suggest that come nighttime, he can take the Bigdei Kehuna, fold it up, use it as a pillow? That's totally unrelated to Avodah. It's a different way of using it. Not wearing it like Bigdei Kehuna. Using it as a pillow, there would be no heter in the world to do so if it was Kelayim. So that proves, says the Gemara, that proves to us, apparently, when the Mishnah speaks about the Kohanim folding it up and placing it beneath their heads, it doesn't mean as a pillow. The Mishnah simply meant they placed it alongside themselves as they were sleeping. Because otherwise, it would be an Issur of Kelayim. It says, "Mabichi teima Kelayim b'levisha v'ha'alahu da'asur." Perhaps you'll tell me, the Issur of Kelayim only applies to wearing, to ha'alah, to covering yourself with Kelayim. V'ha'atzo ashari, but merely spreading it out beneath you, using it as a spread, as a sheet, as a mattress, wouldn't be a concern. That's not true. V'atanya, lo yala alecha. Kelayim is not meant to be brought above, on top of you, as a cover. But you can, indeed, spread it beneath you. That's min ha-Torah. But midrabanan it's asur. Aval amar chachamim asur lasas kein. You cannot do that. Shama tichorech nimal achas absar. Perhaps a thread will get wrapped around your flesh, and you're going to be wearing, getting warmed using that thread. So even spreading it beneath you is asur. So you couldn't use the Bigdei Kehuna as a pillow. V'chi teima, perhaps you'll say, the mafsik le midi, beni beni. He'll have something intersecting, something of a mafsik between him and the Bigdei Kehuna spread beneath him, in which case it will be mutter. That's not so. It's asur as well. V'amar Rab Shimon ben Paz, Amar Rab Shimon Levi, Amar Rebbe, in the name of Mishum Kahala Kadisha, Shibisholayim, the holy community of Yerushalayim, even this would be asur midrabbanan. Afilu eser matzois, zoyal gavzu, even 10 spreads, 10 mattresses, one on top of each other, v'kelayim tachteim, and beneath them all you have kelayim, asur lishan aleim. You may not sleep on top of this heap, even though you're so far from the kelayim, lo yiplug. Chacham applied an all-encompassing isser without any distinctions. So once again, back to our case, you could not conceivably place the kelayim beneath your head. Elalav shema mino k'neged rishayim shema mino. This is a clear raya that we're speaking k'neged rishayim, not tachas rishayim. So we attempted to bring a raya from this Mishnah. You can have hana from Bigdei Kehuna regardless of whether it's avoida or shalayim shas avoida, from the fact that they used it as a pillow. It wasn't used as a pillow. It couldn't have been used as a pillow, because that would have involved kelayim. Apparently we're speaking k'neged rishayim alongside them, in which case you have no riot from this Mishnah that you could have hanah from Bigdei Kehuna. Rav Ashi Amar says no. You can't prove anything. He's going to disprove the proof that we're speaking not in terms of pillow use. Lo'ilam tachas rishayim. You know what? It could be speaking even about placing the Bigdei Kehuna underneath their heads. to be used as a pillow. Regarding your question, Velkom Misanami Kalayim, but isn't this considered Hanah from Kalayim? I'll answer you as follows. Big Dekuhuna Koshenheim. Keep in mind, Big Dekuhuna were tough, thick material. The threads were 6-ply, in which case, Rashi says, Ve'eno Mechamim, it doesn't really warm the wearer. It says, Rashi Lefichach, Ein Bamishun Kalayim, there's no Isser Kalayim, where it doesn't really affect warmth. It's not soft and cuddly. In which case, there's no concern of Kalayim when it comes to the Big Dekuhuna. Giha de Amar of Huna Breda Rishua, as he told us, a similar halacha, Hai Namta. Namta, Rashi says, is levid, felt rabalaz, felt. So this type of felt, gamda, this hard felt, the norash, coming from this town, norash, sharia. There's no kalayim concern because, as Rashi says, there is no hanoas chimum, since it's hard and tough material. The Rishayin, the Ritva points out that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that hard material doesn't have the ability to warm properly, is mutter even when it's kalayim and atoira. We're speaking about a heter only pertaining to kalayim and derabbanan. They explain like this. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yeshua's case of the leved was only kalayim derabbanan, because min atoira you need shua tava venuz. It needs to be spun, combed, and woven together, properly formed material, which is comprised of wool and linen. That's also min atoira. But just pressed together, threads which are formed into felt, that's only also min derabbanan, in which case, if it's hard, derabbanan suspended their iser. So kushin, hard, addresses an iser derabbanan and suspends it. Likewise, in our case, the big dekuna are not being worn at night. They're being spread beneath the kehanim, used as pillows, which in itself is only iser derabbanan, as we learned earlier. So if it's hard, the chacham suspended that iser. So that's the comparison between our case and Rav Huna ben Rishua. Therefore, says the Gemara, this is Rav Ashi speaking, perhaps we're speaking that the big dekuna are being used as a pillow. In which case, you would have a raya. The Torah allows kohanim to enjoy big dekuna even out of the sha'as avoida. What about kelayim? They're spread beneath a person and they're hard. Therefore, there's no issur. So, in the case, we don't really have a raya one way or the other. Tawa shayla, whether big dekuna nitnu lahanes behen shleib sha'as avoida or loy nitnu lahanes behen. Now we're going to have a conclusive raya. Toshma, listen to this raya. The Braisa says big dekuna hayoytze behen la medina osur. One may not walk out wearing big dekuna limedina outside the harabayas. Ube migdash, but if he's in the migdash proper, bein b'shas avoida, bein b'shleish, shaloi b'shas avoida mutter. Whether or not he's engaged in avoida, it's mutter. B'pnei she big dekuna nitnu lahanes behen shmamina. We have a clear right from the brisa. Then indeed, Hashem gives the big dekuna to the kehanim, even for personal use, for personal wear, provided you're in the base of Mikdash. What's wrong with outside the Mikdash? Rashi says it's the Rabbanon. Shenoyig baderech choyl. It's a minig choyl. You're wearing it in a disrespectful fashion outside the Mikdash. It's apparently for personal use. And that's a negation of the covet of the big dekuna. Other Rishayim seem to learn that it's minat Torah, because this heter, to use big dekuna even outside Shas Avoida, is based on the concept of Loi nitna Torah lamalachei Ashuris. Torah doesn't demand the impossible of us. Remove those begodim as soon as you've done the Avoida. Torah allows you to linger on, continue wearing them, but to take them out of the Midosh, that's outside the Makam Avoida, perhaps that would be us, even when our Torah. So two approaches, two ways to learn the Gemara. Why leaving the Midosh with Big Dekuna is us? Either Midrabbanon or Midarais. In any case, when he's still in Migdash proper, there's no concern whatsoever whether he's engaged in Havoida or done his Havoida. Uba Medina loy? Do you mean to say outside the Migdash it's also to wear Big Dekuna? V'atani, we have a Braisa. This is from Megillas Tanis, where there is a comprehensive list of those days throughout the year, which are celebrated as Yomim Tovim. And in this braisa, we're going to see that big dekuhuna were worn even outside the Mikdash. Be'esrim v'chamisha b'tevis, the 25th of Tevis, is marked as Yom HaGrizmu. It was celebrated as Yom HaGrizm, an account of a miracle they experienced on that day. The Lugla Mispad is not meant to be a day of eulogy, it's meant to be a day of Simcha. Why? What event occurred on that day? Yom Shebikshu Kutim is basically Kenu. That was the day that the Kusim, who challenged Kal Yisrael, they wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash at a certain point in history. So they were Mavakish, basically Kenu Malakzandrus Moitan Lachriva. Apparently that was the point in history where Alexander the Great was the reigning the king, that was the prevailing power in the world. And the Kutim approached him to sort of purchase, they paid him off to get the rights to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'nosnut lahem, and he granted it to them. Bo v'idiu as Shimon HaTzadik. This was towards the later part of the second Beis HaMikdash, when Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. They informed him of this terrible news. The fact that the Kutim were given the allowance to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Ma also, what did he do in response? Lovash Big De Kahuna. He put on the Big De Kahuna, assuming the entire full dress, the full garb, the eight begotim. V'nis'atef b'Big De Kahuna, he wrapped himself Big De Kahuna. The Ein Yaakov says, it means that he brought about the aura as well, the spiritual, the light, the oir, which would shine forth from those Big De Kahuna. So he generated that as well. So he got dressed in the full royal garb. Umiyakira Yisrael Imoy. He had a contingent of Chasheva people from Yisrael, from Yerushalayim, who accompanied him on the trip to visit the king. Vavuka Shaloi B'Yedeim, holding torches in their hands, and they took to the road, and they started walking throughout the night. And throughout the entire night, Halolu Hilchem Tzadzeh. So this group, Shimon HaTzadik and his entourage, were walking, coming from this direction towards the king. V'halolu ho'ilchem etzadzeh. And the other ones, apparently reference to Alexandrus and his crew, including the Kutim, who joined them at that point, they were coming from the other direction. They were sort of walking towards each other. Ad she'olam et ha'shachar, until dawn arrived, kiven she'olam et ha'shachar. As soon as Ahmud HaShach arrived, Omar Lem, so he noticed, Alexandrus noticed this group coming from afar, and he turned to the people next to him and he said, Omar Lem, mi alalu, who are those people? Omar Loi. So the Kutim turned to him and he said, oh, those Jews, Yehudim Shemar Debucha, those are the Jews who rebelled against you. Kimish Shigel Antifras, as soon as he arrived further down to Antifras, which was a town in the Yehuda territory of Eretz Yisrael, at that point, Zor Chachama, the sun rose, which was actually a good siman. The Mefarshim bring the pasuk, V'Zor Chalachem Yirei Shemi, the fact that it turned light at that point, that was a good siman for Yisrael. Upog Zebazeb, at which point the rendezvous happened. The group coming towards the king met up with the king's group. Kiven Shiro L'Shimon HaTzadik, as soon as Alexandrus notice Shimon HaTzadik before him, Yored Merkavto, he descended his chariot, V'yishtach v'lefan, he bowed to him with full honors. Amrloi, they turned to him and said, what's going on? Melach Gadol Kamoyischa Yishtach v'lehud Yizeh, such a great king like you, should bow to this Jew. Well, why are you doing that? Amrloi, so he responded, you know why? Dumus diyukyonai shalzeh, this fellow's image, some sort of image which looks like him, menatzachas lefanai b'beis melchamti, would help me be victorious when I wage wars. Whenever I wage a war and I'm victorious, I see him. I see his image. The Marsha says this was apparently a malach dressed up like Shimon HaTzadik coming to help Alexandrus win his wars, because Shimon HaTzadik would daven. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Heavy mispalel b'shlemi shel malchus." One is meant to daven that the king, the government, should run successfully, should not sliach to hold society together and win their wars. So apparently it was his tefillah, and the malach that was generated through his tefillah that came to his assistance. So here he is. Here's the original. Of course, I'm going to bow to him. Amalam, so the king turns to them and he says, Loma Basam, indeed, why? What do I owe the honor to? Amar, so they said, look, we have a concern here. Efshar bayis. Shemispalalim boyalecha. Can it be that a building, a bayis, a bisa midosh, where they daven for you? Val malchuscha. And for your malchus shalaitecha. That it shouldn't be destroyed, that it should be sustained. Yisucha. Yatucha evdik kachav lachriva. These goyim, these kutim, should mislead you? And convince you to destroy this great build, this great edifice, this great institution of the Beis Hamikdash. Amar lem, so the king pretends not to know, not to understand. He says, "Mi alalu, who are these people you're referring to? Who's misleading me?" Amar lo, so they said to him, "What do you mean, kutim alalu shamil fanecha? These kusim that are standing before you." Amar lem, so he tells them, "Take them away. Harehim besurim biyadechem. They're completely given over to you. Do with them as you please." Miyad, immediately the Yidden punished the Kutim who tried to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, destroy Klal Yisrael. Miyad nokvum bikvim, they punctured their heels, their ankles. But halam bezinve soseim, they hung them from their tails of their horses. Vaymegarin oisun al kutsim of arkanim, and they ran them over the thorns at Shegil Hargrisim until they got to Hargrisim, which was the bastion, the headquarters. Of the Kusim, that's where they had the Avodah Zorah. Kivin Shegil Hargrisim, once they arrived at Hargrisim, Harshu, they plowed it through, they destroyed the area completely. Vezor'u Karshinen, they planted it with animal feed. Kederach Shebikshu Lasis, exactly as they had planned to do. They planned on doing to the Beis HaMikdash. Voisa Hayoim Asu Yom Tov, and that day was established as a Yom Tov. And that's the 25th day of Tevis that we mentioned earlier. In any case, Shimon HaTzadik wore a big day kahuna outside the Mikdash. How's that mutter? Says Mori Boyi, same one pshat is, Ru'uyin the big day kahuna. They were designated, they were designed as big day kahuna, but not yet. They were not yet actually handed over and made Kodesh. Therefore, they could be worn outside the Mikdash. Boyi, same another pshat is, indeed, they were big day kahuna. But this was a special circumstance which required special arrangements. Eis lasis l'Hashem, hefer teresecha, says Rashi 8 lines from the bottom. Eis lasis l'Hashem. Sometimes you have to do something which appears to negate Torah. K'sheba eis lasis dover l'shmoy shel makim. In that case, mutar l'afa by Torah. Sometimes that even overrides a Torah iser, such as in this case, where apparently he felt it was needed to save Yisrael, save the Beis HaMikdash. So he went to greet him wearing Big Day Kahuna. So Maskana, Big Day Kahuna are Nitnu L'Hanis Behem, whether B'Sha'as Avoida, Shlei B'Sha'as Avoida, provided you're in the Mikdash proper. Continues the Gemara, and Mishnah tells us, in preparation for Kriyas HaTorah, the Chazan HaKnesses, the attendant would take the Sefer Torah, Noita Sefer Torah, and give it over to the Rosh HaKnesses, who passed it over to the Sgan, who passed it over to the Kohen Gadol. Shema Mino, you can bring a raya from here. Cholkin Kovod LaTalmud Mokem Harav. It is proper and appropriate to accord honor, even to a Talmud, who is somebody Chashev, and even though it's in the presence of the Rav. And we don't consider it an affront to the Rav by giving kavod to his Talmud in his presence. The Talmud deserves kavod. He's also chash. We see that now in Mishnah. They would hand the Sefer Torah to the Chazan and to the Rosh, giving each one kavod along the way. Amar Abaye, no, kulam mishum kavod the Kohen Gadli. This is different, because this was merely a demonstration of the Kohen Gadol's kavod. How's that? Says Rashi. 7 lines from the bottom. L'tamad makom harav. L'resh ha-knesses, l'skan, b'fnei kohen gadol. V'ena k'memayit kavod harav. Perhaps, is that proof? You can give kavod to a Talmud even in the presence of the Rav? No. Kula mishum kvod kohen gadol. Here it was just a way of showing the greatest honor to the one on top of the pyramid, to the kohen gadol. Maron oisoi. Sheish sroris harbi l'mat mimenu. This is a true demonstration of the kavod of the Kohen Gadol. Look, how many underlings he has, how many assistants he has. He has the Chazan, who goes to the Rosh, who goes to the Skan, So this really enhances the kavod of the Kohen Gadol, who's the ultimate, who's the highest authority. Aval ba'alma in cholkim, but generally speaking, if you're just giving something to the kavod to the Talmud per se, then perhaps you're not meant to do so in the presence of the Rav. No, right from here, because the Torah was passed from hand to hand to hand till it got to the Kohen Gadol. So it was all a preparation, so to speak, for the Kohen Gadol and part of his kavod. Everybody's taking part in the process of helping and assisting him. And indeed, this is a true kavod to the Kohen Gadol, but it's not a right to elsewhere. The Kohen Gadol Emet. Kohen Gadol got up. It's mashma that he was sitting, because why would it say Kohen Gadol Emet? Apparently, until that point, he was sitting. He got up to receive the Sefer Torah. Michlal Shul Yoshev. Apparently, he was sitting up until that point. You're not meant to sit in the Azorah. Vanantnan, we have a Mishnah. Ein Yeshiva Ba'azorah. Elul Malchib is David Bilvad. You're not meant to sit in the Azorah. There was one exception. Malchib is David. Shinema Vayova Hamelach David Vayeshiv Ne Hashem. Let's go up to Rashi on top. Ein Yeshiva Ba'azorah. We don't find sitting in the Azor, it's a place of standing, a place of serving Hashem. This was Kesha Amar Le'Nosan Hanavi, Atal Le'Sivna Abayis Gimol Le'Yomlecha, you're not going to build a base of Migdash, it's going to be your son. So he would sit. He was sitting in the Mishkan, or the tent with the urn. It was a Makam Shechina, and he was sitting there. That's an exception. Malchus Beis David can sit. Apparently there, Malchus is so closely related and sort of synonymous with the Malchus of Hashem. And they're meant to sit in the Azorah. But otherwise, another type of king, or certainly the Kohen Gadol, they're meant to sit in the Azorah. Answers the Gemara on the third line from the top. Could the Amar of Chizda Bezis Noshim, as Rav Chizda, in reference to another discussion, answered, was speaking in the Ezra's Noshim, Hachanami Bezos Noshim here as well. The Kriyas HaTorah was not in the Azorah, where the Avodah took place, but rather in the Ezra's Noshim, where sitting was allowed. Veiche Itmad Rav Chizda. Where was Rav Chizda's statement said? Aha! On the following Brisa, Meisve, we had Akasha, the Sanya, Heichan, Kurna Yisrei Ba'Azorah, where would you read the Torah in the Azorah? Rav Lezor Ben Yaakov, Oymah Barabayas, actually out in the Arabayas, Shinema. Vayikra Boilef Neher Rochayiv, he read in the Torah, in front of the square, Asher Lefnei Sharamayim, in front of the Sharamayim, out in the Harabayis. What does the Tanakama hold? It was in the Azorah. How can that be? How can he sit in the Azorah? V'am Rav Chizda Be'ezos Noshim. So we hear Rav Chizda applied his pshat. It was in Ezos Noshim. Here as well, now Mishnah was speaking in the Ezos Noshim. Therefore, sitting was allowed. Now, once we mentioned a pasuk in Nehemiah, let's proceed with another pasuk in Nehemiah. Vayivarech Ezra es Hashem Elokim HaGadol. So you applied a bracha to Hashem, Elokim HaGadol. My Gadol, what exactly is Gadol referring to here? Amrav Yosef, Amrav. Shigidloi b'shem HaMeferesh. He praised Hashem, he referenced Hashem using the Shem HaMeferesh, Yudkei Vavkei, which denotes the Gdula. Why? Gdula means greatness. The power to create. Yudke Vavke Havaya represents this concept of Hashem being the constant creator, the source of all existence. Shegidlo b'shem ha'meferish. Rav Gidl Omar, he had a different pshat. When it says, Vayivarech Ezra Hashem Hakim HaGadol, it means that he revised the text of the brachas in the Migdash. Instead of just saying, for instance, Baruch Atah Hashem Goyal Yisrael, they lengthened it. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ad ha'olam, and then they would say Gal Yisrael. So he introduced this new nusach of bracha, and that's what Elokim HaGadol means. Amli Abaye l'Rav Dimi. Rabbi asks Rav Dimi, "V'dilma shegidlo b'shem ha'feresh." Why did Rav Gidl interpret it in this manner rather than saying like Rav Yosef Amarav, that he referred to Hashem using the Shem HaMeferesh? Amalei, Rav Dimi answered, Ein Oymrim Shem HaMeferesh BeGvulim, because he held, Rav Gidl held, you're not meant to say the Shem HaMeferesh outside the Azorah. Rashi says, Kol Chutz LaAzorah, when you're outside the Azorah, Kori Gvulim, it's called Gvulim, in the context of our discussion, the pasuk says you're not meant to actually express the Shem Hashem fully, Yud Kei Vav Kei, only in a mokem Hashem Asker Shemin, a mokem of Avoida. But this event, which took place outside the Azara, somewhere in the Harabais, did not allow for mentioning the Shem Mefirosh, but apparently the other Shita, Rav Yosef Amarav, held differently. Perhaps he held that even though it was in the Harabais, that's still mokem Avoida, and the Shem Mefirosh can be expressed there as well. Okay, so we have this machlekes. On this, the Gemara says, "Veloy, is that so? They're not meant to mention Shema and Furish outside the Azor Vaksiv." We have another pasuk. "Vayamud Ezra Sefer al Migdal Eitz, asher osu l'davar." "Ve'amar Rav Gidol." There's a girsa of "Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav." So it seems to be the same person, Rav Gidol. Here it's the name of Rav, and he interprets this pasuk as follows: Shegid loy b'shem ha'mefirash. Indeed, he referred to Hashem with the Shem ha'mefirash. Hoy ra asha, hoy so, says the Gemara, it was a directive for that specific moment. There was a reason why, in this case, he was allowed to say Shem ha'mefirash. Now, some mefirashim say that actually it's a machlekes between Rav Gidol Amar Rav, who held that there was a special allowance to say the Shem ha'mefirash in this instance, and between him and Rav Gidol himself, who apparently held differently, you're not meant to say Shem HaFirash. It wasn't allowed even at that event. Okay, once we're at it, we're interpreting the Pesukim here in Ezra and Nehemiah, let's proceed with another Pasuk. The Pasuk here describes an outcry, a voice expressed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, that great assembly of Chachamim and Nevi'im, which came together at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, that came up from Bavel. And the pasuk describes the tzaka as follows: "Vayitzakol Hashem Elokim b'kol gadol." They cried out with a kol gadol my amar. What were they saying? Amar Rav, Yitem Rav Yechanan. Bayi bayi, or vay vay, oy vay, oy vay. They were lamenting the following: "Haynu hay da achrei lemigdasha." Take a look at this thing over here. See, it's Zahara. Who brought about the destruction of our Beis HaMikdash? Let's go up to Rashi on the fourth line. Vay vay, lashon za'aka v'kuvlana. It's lashon of lamenting and crying out. Hay da achrei v'le Beis HaMikdash. What were they complaining about? Mevakshin rachmim shimaser b'yadam. Yetzirah shalavayz kechavim. They wanted Hashem to delete the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, who brought about the destruction of our first Beis HaMikdash. You may recall back on that. That's on base. The Gemara says that first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gila Rice, and Shvichas Dam. Apparently they knew, they felt that the casualties are too many and too great. It's not within our ability to conquer, to address properly this Yetzer. Continues the Gemara, "Hai da achrei l'mikdasha v'kal yilei chalev," and burnt Hashem's Heichal, v'katlinu l'kulu tzadiki, and killed all the tzadikim, v'aglinu l'Yisrael mar'in, and brought about the exile of Yisrael from their land, v'adayin merakad beinon, he's still dancing amongst us. And he turned to Hashem, "Kum yavitilan," isn't the reason why you granted him to us? "Ela l'kibula be'agra," wasn't the point and purpose in order to challenge us, to allow us to conquer him, to earn reward? Well, it's not working out. It's just overwhelming. We don't want him, nor the reward generated by conquering him. It's just not working out. The casualties are too many. So this was the request, the Rachmonis. I asked of Hashem, destroy the Yetzer Hara Avodah Zarah. And Hashem acquiesced. Nafalu pitka mirukia. A petek, a note came fluttering down from the heaven, davakasa ba'emes, which had on it the word emes, aleph memsaf. Amar chanina shmamina. Apparently, we learn from here, chosamay shalakadosh baruch hu emes. This was the signature of Hashem, emes, the first, middle, and last letter of the aleph bays. Hashem was, is, and always will be. Hashem is the eternal being, emes. Hashem was maskim, granted their requests. So now in order to destroy him, they had to do some more effort. Oisivu b'tanisa. So they established a fast, a tainis, t'losa yoymin, t'losa l'ilvyosa, for 3 days and three nights. And finally, masru ne'alayu, from heaven, they granted, they gave over the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah to the Chachamim. Nofak osa. So he came out. Kiguria denura. He came running out. Appearing like a guria, a small lion, denura, made of fire. So he appeared in an image of a small burning lion. And he came running out and he based Kodesh HaKadoshim. Apparently that's where he resided. Parshim asked, what's Yetzirah doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The answer is, yeah. The root, the source, the objective, the tachlis of the Yetzirah is to challenge us, to give us the opportunity to achieve greatness, to rise to the madrega of Kodesh HaKadoshim. So indeed, his existence, his essence, is rooted in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's a tachlis. He came running out of there, and they wanted to catch him. Amar lo Navi Yisrael, so the Navi was there, the Zechariah turned to Yisrael and says, here's the fugitive. Here's the one you're looking for. Hainu Yitzhak Avayz Kechavim. Here's the Yitzhak Avayz Kechavim. Shanam Avayemer, Zoyz HaRisha. He's the Risha that you're looking for. They try to grab him. Vahadi Tavsu Alei. While they're trying to grab a hold of him, Ishtamit Binisa. A hair got pulled out. Mimazi from Binisa, from between his hair. Virama Kola, and in distress and anguish, Yitzhak called out. And his call of distress went ringing out throughout 400 parsa, the entire area of Eretz Yisrael. Amru, so the Chacham standing around were now concerned. They said, "Heichen Yavad, what should we do? Dilma Chas V'Shalom, Merach Milim in Shammai, perhaps. In Shammai, they'll respond with compassion to his call of distress. What should we do? Quickly." Amru, who Navi? So the Navi turns to them. He says, "Should you toss them in beduda into this container of the avra, the ivra of lead, v'chafyu lepumi be'avra, and cover the mouth with more lead? Why the avra? Because lead has this nature, misha of shoiv kala, it absorbs sound. In which case he'll be contained in there, and he will not be heard. Shenemar vayomer zoyz harisha. This is the risha. This is the avodah zarah." Vayashlech oisol toicha eifa, they throw him into this container. Vayashlech as evan hoiferes apia, putting the lead over its mouth, and they closed him in there and they locked him in there. Okay, so they said, well, we were successful, one down, two to go, let's go for the other yetzaharas, gil arayis, etc. Omer, they said, hoil beis ratzenu. Apparently, this is a time of goodwill from Shemaim. Niboy rachmi, let's proceed further. Ask Hashem regarding the other Yetzer, a Yetzer de Avera, to help us conquer the Yetzer of Gili Arayis, to cancel, to delete that drive, that desire. Bo Rachmi, v'emsir b'yadayu. Indeed, they asked Hashem, and it was granted. Hashem gave it over to them. Now, this fellow is a conniver. He said, listen, before you kill me, hear me out. Amar lo, so the Yetzer turns to them, Chazu, take a close look at things. I want you to think for a second. If you kill him, if you kill me, Kal Yama, you know what's going to happen? The entire world will cease to exist. All production will stop. Because this concept of Gilui Arayis represents the entire production system, the entire, on all levels. Not just Isser, even Heter will be affected. Everything will cease to exist. So they heard him out. He decided to make a test. Chavshu et losayim, they locked him up for 3 days, and they went looking around for a fresh egg, and they didn't find it. Ubo be'asan, they went to look for an egg basayim, one day, meaning a fresh egg. B'chol eretz yisrael v'lo yishtak, and they couldn't find. Rashi explains that even eggs which had already begun their production process inside the rooster wouldn't complete. They wouldn't. The system, the reproduction system, just stopped cold in its tracks. So Chacham saw it's not going to work. Amri, they said, okay, Hechen Avitch, what should we do? Niktali? So destroy him. Kal Ya'alma. The entire world will cease to function. Niboy Rachme Apalg. Perhaps you can ask Hashem to give him halfway to us. Only the improper inappropriate aspect of the Gilui Arayos should be deleted, should be canceled, given over to us. Well, that won't work. Palga Berkila Yav from Shemaim, they don't give half things. It's either all or nothing. Because it's really all one entity. It's one and the same. So halves don't work. So what do they do? And as a last resort, they figure at least something they should have out of it. Kachlinu Le'ini. They inserted some sort of substance into his eyes. And by doing so, they blinded him. V'shavku, and they let him go. V'ahani. And this procedure achieved some benefit. D'loy mikri beile inish bekrifte. It minimized the drive for avera, so that a person doesn't have a desire bekrifte for his relatives. In fact, the Gemara Kedushin tells us you're allowed to be mesiachid with relatives because of what the Anshnei Knesset HaGdol accomplished for us. They removed that yetzirah for craving. So at least that much they did. Continues the Gemara b'marava. By the way, there's an interesting Maharal. He says that the yetzirah, the first one of Avodah Zarah, didn't give up his fight too easily. He wasn't maskim to abdicate his position until Hashem gave him something in return, which was, instead of the desire to worship idols, Hashem replaced it and substituted it with, listen to this, the drive for material wealth, for money. Like the Sfarim call it the Egel Hazav, like we had in the Midbar. They worshiped the Egel Hazav. So that represents the desire to amass unneeded material wealth and money, and that's what he had instead of the idols, instead of the actual Avodah Zarah. This is just another form, a subtle form of Avodah Zarah. A person acquires great material wealth, he feels empowered, he feels in control, independent. That's a subtle form of Avodah Zarah. So true, the ultimate Avodah Zarah was removed from this world, but In a subtle sense, we still have it in a different form. So, just good to know. Interesting, Maharal. Continues the Gemara Marava Mas Nuhoch. Let's go back to that pasuk. A pasuk in Nehemiah. Ivorach Ezra Hashem Akim Agadol. We had a shaila as to the meaning of Gadol. We had a machlokes. So in Marav and Eretz Yisrael, they had this. This pshat in the pasuk. Marava mas nuach. Rav Gidl Omar, Godol shegidlo b'shem ha'farish. According to Rav Gidl, he referred to Hashem with the shem ha'farish. Rav Mas Omar, his pshat is different. Ha'keila Godol ha'giv v'anoyra. He referred to Hashem using these titles. The great one, the powerful one, the awed and feared one. V'hoder Rav Masna, this pshat of Rav Masna, ma'atio l'drab Yishuv ben Levi. It leans over, meaning it's consistent, it's synonymous, it's similar to the pshat of Rabbi Shimon Levi. The Omer Rabbi Shimon Levi, Lomo, Nikro Shimon Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Why were they called, these Chacham, these Navim, why were they given the title Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? Sheachziru Atorah LeYeshna. They restored Hashem's crown, Hashem's glory, to the way it was in the past. What does this mean? They reattributed all those lost titles back to Hashem. Also Moshe. Amar, when Moshe came, he said, Hakela Godo, Hagibor Vanoira. He attributed all these titles to Hashem. The great one, the mighty one, the feared one, the awed one. Also Yirmiah, but when Yirmiah came, and he saw V'amar, Nochre Mekarkin Beichel, he says, look, the Goyim are dancing around, they're partying in Hashem's Heichel. Destroying the Beis Hamidash. Ayeinu Ra'isav. Where do we see a display of Hashem's might? Hashem's fear, Hashem's awe. Goyim are not really experiencing that revelation of Hashem. It's hidden from view. Hashem is hiding that anhaga. Therefore, he deleted that. For the time being, we're not meant to say something which we can't relate to. Lo'yom anoira. That Hanhoga is not a full display. He removed that from the list. Furthermore, also Daniel Amar, Nachrim Mishtabdim Banov. Daniel, during the time of the Golus Bavel says, look, the Goyim are enslaving Yisrael. Ayur Gvuroisav, where is the display and the demonstration of Hashem's might? Apparently, it's the time of Hester. Well, Omar Gibor, he deleted Gibor for the time being. Also, Inu. But when the Anshei Knesset Gdolah, after they saw the Nisim, the Nes Purim, etc., they said, look, also Inu of Amru Adrab, just the opposite, Zoihi Gvuras Gvurasai. This is actually a great display of Hashem's might. Shekoivish as Yisroi. Hashem, so to speak, subdues his Yetzer, his desire, his might, his power. He suspends it to allow the Goyim to do what they need to do, to bring about the Tikkun of Klal Yisrael. That's a true demonstration of discipline and power and might. Like we say in Pirkei Avos, Ezu Gibor, HaKoyvish Es Yitzroi. Self-discipline. That's the greatest display of might. Shenoisin Erech HaPayim L'Rishoyim. He displays patience to the Rishoyim. He allows them to do what they need to do, destroy the Beis HaMikdash, be Masak and Klal Yisrael for our benefit. Actually, this is a great display of Hashem's awe and might and fear. Because otherwise, how then would Klal Yisrael, one nation, survive amongst all the nations who are out to kill us and destroy us? So they actually restore things to the way they were. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the great assembly. Great meaning, they reattributed all the titles of greatness and everything that's included in that to Hashem. Says the Gemara, Rabbanon, now the Yirmiyah and Daniel, those Rabbanon, Hechi Avdi Hachi, how would they do that? Va'akri Takanta, the Tokin Moshe, to go ahead and remove, delete words and titles which were established and composed by Moshe Rabbeinu? Omer Belazar, you know why? You know why they did that? Because they knew full and well that Hashem is genuine. He's real. Rashi says, Maskim ala emes. V'soynes ha-sheker. Hashem dislikes dishonesty. Lefichach lo kizuboy. They decided, we're not going to be dishonest to Hashem. When we speak to Hashem, we have to be genuine. Na'erlach. If we don't see a display of Hashem's might and glory, then Hashem doesn't want us to just express it as empty words. Therefore, they removed it for the time being, but the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah reestablished that practice. They held no. Take a close look at what's going on in the world, you see, although perhaps you don't always feel it or appreciate it, but intellectually you appreciate, you see, you mark it, that it's all Hashem orchestrating everything for the Tachlis, Shleimus Amiti. Okay, let's go back to Kriyas HaTorah. Says the Gemara, V'kiri achre mois v'ach be'osu. So the Kohen Gadol will take the Sefer Torah, read the Parsha of achre mois, and when he was done, he would roll over to Parsha's Emor. We find the Parsha of ach be'osu. Ramin, you have a brayso, so they're not meant to. Roll the Sefer Torah of Medalgim B'Navi. You'll have to skip when you're reading Navi. V'ein Medalgim B'Torah. Not meant to skip when you're reading the Torah. So how can you skip on Yom Kippur? Lakasha, the answer is, depends how long you're skipping. How long it's going to take. Kan B'Chdei Sheyafsik HaTurgimon. The mission there, which doesn't allow skipping in the Torah, speaking B'Chdei Sheyafsik HaTurgimon. Turgimon was a fellow who would announce, would translate, explain the Psukim to the crowd there. So you're not meant to keep the crowd waiting. So if skipping and rolling the Sefer Torah would take up too much time, in which case the Turgamon would have been finished already. And everybody is just standing and waiting for the Sefer Torah to be rolled over. That's not covered at Sivar. Therefore the Mishnah there says, you're not meant to go and do that. However, over here in Yom Kippur, since the two parshas were close to each other, we just skip from Achrei Mois to Emor, close by. Kan b'chdei shelo yafsik haTurgamon. It wasn't enough time that the Turgamon would have stopped his narrative. So while he's doing his thing, they quickly skip over, switch places in the Torah, and then as soon as he's finished, they just resume the Kriyas Torah, in which case there's no lack of kavod hatzibur, there's no tircha de tzibur, there's no concern. Says the Gemara, how could you say that? V'ala katani. Take a close look at that Mishnah there in Megillah. Mishnah continues, medalge b'navi. You can skip around when you're reading Navi. V'ein medalge b'Torah, but you can't skip when you're reading the Torah. V'ad kama medalig. When you skip a Navi, how much can you skip? V'chtei shalo yafsek haturgman. You have to ensure the turgman is still doing his thing. You're not keeping anybody waiting. That's only by a Navi. Apparently when we're speaking about reading Torah, you don't have to skip at all. So how would he skip on Yom Kippur? Amar Avayi Lekasha, the answer is, Kan binin echad, kan b'shnein yanim. On Yom Kippur, it was really one and the same topic. So you can skip around, even in Torah. Because it's both Yom Kippur related, it's not going to create confusion. As long as the tzibur is not kept waiting, of course. Kan b'shnein yanim, over there in Megillah, we don't allow skipping in the Torah when it's from one topic to the other, because Torah, as opposed to Navi, contains halachas and azharas. We want to keep things clear and consistent. If you're going to skip around from one topic to the other, it's going to create confusion and perhaps generate erroneous conclusions. So by Navi, you can skip around even from one end to the other. It's basically stories, a narrative of historical facts. There's no concern about skipping around, provided you're not keeping anybody waiting. It's done within the time span of the Meturgaman's translation. But when it comes to Torah, if you're not keeping anybody waiting, that's okay if it's B'inyan Echad, but not B'shnein Yonim. But Tani, as we find in the Braisa, which supports this Pshat, Medalgam B'Torah B'inyan Echad. It could skip around in the Torah, provided it's the same topic. U'B'Navi, even B'shnein Yonim. But, Kan V'Kan, in either case, you have to make sure you don't keep anybody waiting. B'Chdei Shele Yafsek HaTurgman, it's done while the Turgman is still doing his narrative. V'ein medalge b'navi l'navi. And even by Navi, there still is a limit. You can't be medalge from one sefer to the other. That's too confusing. U'b'navi shal shneim asr medalge. You can skip around from one of it to the other if we're speaking about the group of small Navim, you know, the Trei Asr. Let's consider like one Navi. Can skip around from one sefer to the other within Trei Asr, eventually dalag misefer sefer l'tchilase, provided you're not going to go backwards. You start at the end and go back to the beginning. Out of order, that's not appropriate. That's truly confusing and not the right way to read Navi. So, in summary, if you speak about skipping around, firstly, you have to make sure there's no tircha de tzibur. It must be done all within the time of layafsik haturgman. And even then, we have distinction between one inyan, which is allowed, whether it's Torah or Navi. But when it comes to skipping from one inyan to the other, you can't do that by Torah because it involves dinim and halachas. You don't want to confuse the crowd. By Navi, that's allowed. But from one sefer to the other, you're not meant to do that even by Navi, but you can't do that by Trei Asr. Okay, time just to review the main points of today's daf. We concluded that Bigdei Kehuna anitnu lehanis behen, provided he's in the Beis HaMikdash. Shimon HaTzadik wore them outside the Mikdash. Either they weren't really Kaddish yet, or Eis Lasis Lashem was a time of need and necessity. You're not meant to send the Azor, unless you're a Melech of Beis David. You're not meant to say the Shema Meferesh outside the Azor, according to some Shittas. The Anshin Knesset Agdeilu destroyed the Avodah Zarah of Yetzirah, and they mitigated the effect of the Yetzirah of Arayis. They restored the titles of Hashem, HaGadol, HaGibur, HaNoira, and we learned about the halacha of skipping around during Kriyas HaTorah. Kol Tov to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.